Making Jesus real in our hearts. Thank you for giving power to the word of God that we heard and we are hearing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this hour. Lord, I surrender myself, Holy Spirit, unto you. I ask that it's all about you. It's all about your kingdom. Have your way this day. Emmanuel, step aside. Holy Spirit, take over. Give life to your word. Give meaning and understanding to the word of God. Cause each one of us to be blanketed under the power of the Holy Spirit. And cause your church to grow. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. To God be the glory. I want to thank God for the great privilege again to stand before you. It's always a great privilege. And thank God for the big heart of our senior pastor, Pastor Mike Anobi, giving me this privilege to share the word of God at a time like this. It's not something that I'm qualified to handle. I just thank God and I submit myself to the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen. We started a teaching last week that has to do with own fellowship, and it has to do with the topic of theme, growing the church through home fellowship. We're able to see that the original purpose of God, as we look into Genesis, is for humanity to grow, humanity to spread and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. And that has been in the mind of God, in the heart of God, in the plan of God. And fast forward to the inception of the church. When the church was born on the day of Pentecost, God's purpose and plan was for the church to also spread the good news of salvation to the entire world, beginning from Jerusalem. And we see how the church at one time was locked up in the four walls. And the church in Jerusalem would not go out. But then, as God will have it, God used everything. God uses things to cause his people to move, even if it has to do with persecution. So the early church was persecuted and they have to move. And then the word spread, not only to Judea, to Samaria, to the Gentile world, and we thank God that today we're able to have the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're going to continue from where we stopped. We see our church, the church then, the early church was growing rapidly, We see the multiplication of disciples, how the Holy Spirit was working as they obeyed the move of the Spirit. There was multiplication of the church, and as the church was growing in multiple, God already has prepared leaders. They have been empowered, they have been equipped, and they were able to absorb these thousands and thousands of people that were coming in. And so they were able to disciple them, and then in turn, they disciple others, and then in turn, they also disciple others, and today we have missionaries all over the world. Hallelujah. Amen, amen and amen. We're going to continue from there. Today, I would like to read two passages of the scripture. The first one is John chapter 12, verse 24, which says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Amen. And the second passage of the scripture I would like to read is in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. I'll read verse 3, then 26 to 29. Mark 4, 23. Jesus began to say, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." So I jump to verse 26. "And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately it puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Let me take verse 20, very important. "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Last week I mentioned that I will be talking about process of five principles. We want to see, how do we grow the home fellowship? What was the principle the early church used that they were able to handle the thousands of people that came in? And if we follow suit today, we'll be able to not only prepare, but we'll be able to handle the thousands of people that are coming, because I believe God is bringing thousands of people on our way. And then we are bracing up, we are preparing to, you know, absorb them as they come in. We don't want to be unprepared. And that is why God is giving us this opportunity to learn at his feet. So we want to first of all look at a process of five principles. What are the things that the early church went through that if we practice, then we'll be able to absorb the thousands? Number one, they were able to reach out. Reaching out. They were able to reach out with a loving hand. Reaching out, loving others with no string attached. There was an outbreak of love, contagious love. The early church had love, and they were able to reach out. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 tells us, "They that gladly received the word," from verse 41, "and they were added to the church. The number were 3,000 souls." And 42 says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, and the church grew." When you go down to verse 46, you will see that there was great love, that they had things in common. There was common love. They loved themselves. So the first thing the people outside saw, they saw within them, there was a contagious love, genuine love, among this group of people called Christians. So they were watching at them and watching them from outside. So when the people inside the church had the opportunity of coming to them, they embraced, they had the word, and they knew that those people were different, and they gladly received the word. Don't forget, we have nothing to do with it. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers the word. But it uses our life, right? It uses our life as an example of those who have been transformed. So when we stand out there, we testify, they see us, they see your life, and then they can easily, you know, accept the God you serve, who brought a change to you. So reaching out, that's the number one thing we have to do. We have to, you know, have intention of reaching out every day. You must plan it, make it a daily itinerary, part of your itinerary, that today I might meet with somebody. Let it be part of you when you are going out, that today God is preparing me. I believe there is going to be a divine appointment. I might come across somebody who have been prepared by heaven to hear the word and accept it. No time to read the entire Mark chapter 4. You will see that not all the seed that the sower, you know, threw out that brought results. Some fell by the wayside, some fell by the tongues. No, we are talking about the ones. Not everyone that hear you, not everyone you witness to, not everyone that sees you will embrace your God. But the good fruit, the good one, the good seed that falls upon the good soil, the heart that is already cultivated by the Holy Spirit, when they hear it, they will embrace it. So we have not to do other than our own preparation and prayer and submission to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So there are various ways we are going to look at. We must be passionate about this reaching out. We must be passionate because God himself is passionate about souls. We must be passionate about it. Jesus gave a parable in the book of Luke chapter 15. Talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. You see how passionate, you know, the shepherd was. He went after the one that was lost. You see how passionate the man or the woman who lost the coin. She put on the light and swept everywhere until she found it. You see how passionate the man who lost his son. You know, he was. We must be passionate. That's number one. Number two, we are looking at the process of five principles. Number two, we have to disciple. Disciple, you know, goes beyond just witnessing. Disciple is making them like you. It is a reproductive thing. It is making who you are inside somebody. It is, you know, reproducing you into another person. It is transferring the DNA that is in you through the Holy Spirit into somebody until that person is like you. So it's not just a witness, that is the end. Witness is just one of it. You know, we witness, yes. We give trust, yes. We pray for them, yes. We visit them, we call them, yes. That is just, you know, one layer. It's just one out of many, you know, steps you have to take. It goes beyond that. We must begin to, you know, intentionally disciple them. Making that everyone can do. We must make disciple making something that everyone can do. We can only walk where God is walking. That I said that not everyone that will hear you will embrace the truth. Some will not. Many will not. But maybe one out of 10. Maybe one out of 100. So go for that one. Don't spend all your energy on the one that will not know, that is not receptive. Oh, I call. You know, it's like it's dodging you. It doesn't want to hear. Go for somebody else. There will be one out of 10. There will be one out of 20 that is ready. That is the one you go for. The farmer, I grew up in a, you know, as a village boy. I remember those days that my parents are preparing for planting. If it is corn, they reserve the best one. They look at them and they reserve them because the corn, the one they are reserving, they know it has the, you know, the strength, the capacity, all right, to sprout and grow. And then when it comes to planting yam, there is a way they go for it. They cut the head. They know, they see the one that is already sprouting has some sign that there is life. It's already shooting out. They know, okay, this, when you put it in the soil, it's going to sprout, it's going to grow. So they cut the head and they keep it. And then the time of, you know, planting comes, that's what they're going to plant. So not all the yam will be qualified or has the capacity. There are some, you put them in the soil, it just rots, it's not going to sprout. So let's go for the one that has the life. The one that have been prepared by heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Acts chapter 16 verse 14 talks about Lydia, the purple seller, whose heart the Lord opened. When the Lord opened her heart and she heard the preaching, the ministration of Paul and his group, she yielded. Don't forget she had been worshiping. The Bible says she was a worshiper of God, but she didn't experience salvation. Alright? There are many people who are going to church. They are yet to know Jesus. Amen. Not everyone that goes to church is born again. So this woman, Lydia, was a worshiper of God, but she didn't know Jesus. But at a time, God opened her heart. And then she heard what Paul was preaching. And because the Lord opened her heart, it was easy for her to embrace the truth. So she accepted the truth. She became a vessel in the hand of God. Let's go for the one. Let's go to a place, the people, the group, the family, you know, that God is working upon. We can only walk where God is walking. Jesus said, "Hitherto I walk because my Father is walking." He knows what heaven is doing and he follows. And that's why it's easy for him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's about everyday life. What we are talking about discipleship. It's not just one day I preach and then we finish it. We must every day lead an exemplary life for those that we are trying to disciple. In relationship, our relationship with them, it's not okay we just call 1 week, one day in the week, one day in the month. No, we are going to make them like friends. We are going to have that intimacy, that relationship with them is going to be on a daily basis. So discipleship making, it flows naturally out of the relationship we're already building with such a person. So until we are discipling somebody, it's not yet, we are not yet sure if that person is in Christ. Somebody may respond to you, "Oh yes, okay, I accept Jesus." Say this once after me, he says it. But then it doesn't stop there, because from the parable of Jesus, some seed fell into where? In the tongues, and then shook up. Some fell on the rocks, but then dried up. So they accepted the word, but they didn't go further. So we need a lot of follow-up, we need a lot of praying, we need a lot of relational, you know, this is intentional thing you have to do, relationally and contiguously influencing people for the kingdom. Number three, we are together. All right? One thing the farmer does, they don't just plant, sow, do everything and go and sleep, and then be waiting, counting, okay, after 3 months, there's going to be harvest. And then fail to go there and gather the harvest. Then all their labor will be in vain. Alright? So when they plant, when they sow, they are waiting, they are counting. 3 months from now, we are going to begin to harvest. And then they go for it. They go for the harvest. Some harvest can override. Let's use the example of tomatoes. You know, well, sorry, I talk too much as a farmer. Alright? If you plant tomatoes, and we also have the experience, even your garden, if you plant it and it's beginning to ripe, and you ignore it, you don't go for it, you are seeing it's ripening, it's ready, and you are not going for it. What is going to happen after a few days? It's going to drop. It's going to become useless. So the harvest can pass if you don't gather them in. So it's not enough to reach out to them, disciple them. We must gather them. That is why home fellowship is important. We must bring them in for fellowship. We must bring them together. Hallelujah. The Bible said the disciples in the early church, they met daily in the public, well then, in the temple, they were meeting in the temple on a daily basis. And then in their neighborhoods, in their house, or houses, rather. So, and that did not cost them anything. So, let's go back to the Old Testament, the New Testament. Let's go back to the early church. It didn't cost them anything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, meeting in the public buildings, neighborhood, in our houses, we help us do the gathering. Gathering, you know, became so simple because we don't need any professionalism. In our own fellowship center, we don't need somebody to be trained as a public speaker to lead. All you just need is somebody who's born again, who is enthusiastic for God. Somebody who is born again, who has passion for people, to love people, to care for people, to pray for people. That is all you just need. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And we don't have to stay in church for 5 years, 3 years. You are over, you know, reaping. You have been there for too long. You have warmed the bench for too long. You know, immediately, look at the early church. Immediately people were born again. Immediately they were born again and they went through the apostles, you know, teaching and doctrine for a few, you know, if somebody is born again today, they baptize that person within that week. And then they go through little training, and not only that, they will now empower them and they trust them out. Amen.
Amen.
That is how to go about it. We don't have to stay too long. without allowing the people, immediately you are born again, if you are truly born again, testify about it, then give yourself to be baptized, then you go through the word of God, just few things we go together in the world, and then you are ready to go. All you just need to say, like the woman at the well, she didn't go to any Bible school, she didn't do anything. Jesus met her right there. That very day, she went out and told people, come and see a man who told me all that I've ever done in my life. It is not the Christ. That is all God needs from you. That is all God is expecting from us. Praise the Lord. And those who have been prepared, those who have been worked upon by the Holy Spirit will hear it and they will also yield, because the same Spirit that is working in you is working in them. Sometimes we want to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I must preach heavy sermon for them. You know, I must, you know, what we think that is just by much that we do. No. It is by much that the Holy Spirit is doing. Amen. All we just have to do is to surrender and say, Lord, here am I. How do you want to do it? Go about it. And those who are prepared by God, you see them hungry for God. And then you know this one has been prepared. Number four, we have to empower. We have to empower. It's not enough to just gather them. It's not enough to reach, disciple, gather them. We have to empower. And that is, I'm putting it to all the Home Fellowship Center leaders. This coming Home Fellowship, do not do the teaching. Let somebody else do it. I mean, don't coordinate. Let somebody else coordinate. Allow mistakes. Allow error. Allow whatever it is. Just take it like that. Because if they don't make the mistakes and all the error and everything, they don't learn from it. Until they are able to do what you are doing, you are not yet making a disciple. Until you can freely say, I'm not there, this notary is there, she can do it. In fact, until you allow somebody else to do it, you may not know how many people have been prepared by God. God can do without us. Hallelujah. So empower. We are talking about empower. Empowering others is very important. A truly upside down understanding of leading, facilitating, means to decentralize system. The reason why God gave the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints. So equipped to sit down? No. Equipped to do what? Equipped to also go and make disciples. So think about somebody who went for an engineering course or a doctor. You know, went to as a medical student, and after graduation and everything, he sits at home. He's not going to any job. Huh? Then the purpose of that education is, you know, is wasted. If God has called you, God has called everyone, and you have the Holy Spirit, and you have been equipped by God, God expects you, go out there and do the same thing. The man who Jesus healed, I think the man of the Gadara, who was demon possessed after he had been set free, decided to follow Jesus. Jesus said, no, don't follow me. You do what? Go to your people. In one word, you are ripe to testify. You don't need any geology or whatever. Just tell them, they knew who you were. They knew where you were living. They knew how you had been in the tomb. They will ask questions. How come, you know, your new experience? How did you become healed? Simply tell them, Jesus healed you. In one word, you are needed outside there, then follow me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number five. We reach, one, two, we disciple, three, we gather, four, we empower. Number five, multiply. That is the original purpose of God. We need to multiply. I used an illustration last week that, you know, you see the big hen lay eggs, and he sits on those eggs, maybe there are 10 or 15 of them, and then he sits there, counts, you know, 21 days. Naturally, the hens are ready to be hatched. Now, the hen has this instinct in her that on the 21st day, she'll begin to call out the chicken. She begins to call out to those eggs. Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. And the ones that have life, the one that is already grown and has life, will respond. You see, they will try, they are struggling, they want to come out. And then the mother will break the egg to allow the chicken to come out. The chick to come out. And then you will find that maybe out of the 15, only 13 came out. Now two are left unhatched. You don't have to bother yourself by that. God spoke to me this morning, to my heart. And I began to see that scripture in such a way that I asked the Lord, help me. Help me. Because I looked at that picture that the unhashed head has no life in itself. So it's not the fault of the hand. Because there's no life. If there's no life, then you can't do anything. Alright? And the Holy Spirit led me to connect with John 15, verse 2. Any branch in me that beareth not fruit, the Father does what? Cut it off. It's of no use staying there. The unhatched egg is useless. It has missed the purpose for which it has been laid. The hen laid that egg for a purpose, to reproduce herself in that egg, so that the egg after 21 days will come out look like her. But alas, there's no life. So the purpose and the process is useless. The Holy Spirit was just working in my heart. I was asking the Lord, God help me, so that all the process, your death, your suffering, the work of the Holy Spirit, everything will not be in vain in my life. Because if I'm not productive, if I don't bring out the reason for my existence, it means I have missed the purpose. It means I'm useless. God forbid. Look at it that way. The same thing, home fellowship. If we are just existing, let's keep our five people. Let's make sure that these five people don't go anywhere. How many parents will be happy? You have your children, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, and all the five children, they have been living with you since the day they were born. And some of them are 30, some are 35. They are still staying with you. How many will be happy? Oh, no, they are my children. I don't want them to go. Let them stay. Something is wrong with you. Because if you are okay, and if the person is okay, you want them to go out and do likewise, right? And do like you. Make homes. Reproduce. Have influence. Hallelujah. God is expecting each believer to produce. Make your kind. Influence somebody. It's not enough to come to church and sing and dance and clap hands and read Bible for ourselves. That is selfishness. God expects that when parents have invested in the life of these children, when they get to a certain age, with all your investment, they should go out there and make their own homes. And then you look at them, you smile that your investment is not in vain. I pray that the investment of Jesus and heaven will not be in vain in our lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We move to the next. Love wins the world. Send the five process, the five principles. Then now let's look at love wins the world. Being more intentional in all we say or do daily. Sorry, there's something I'm missing. I think I need to go back to that multiply. That will help us. I read something from somewhere that a church in India produced 4,000 churches in less than 7 years using this principle. In 7 years, a church produced 4,000 other churches. Less than 7 years. In northern Chinese province, over 500 churches and 20,000 believers were made in less than 5 years using this principle. In an Asian Muslim country, there is a record of what happened in that Asian Muslim country, that more than 150,000 Muslims accepted Jesus, and then they gathered in more than 3,000 locally led Isa Jamaats. It's called Jesus Group. That is the Muslim, you have to use their code. Isa Jamaat, they have 3,000 locally, local centers to house these 150,000. Brethren, we can do it. Amen. And God is preparing us for something great.
Amen.
God is just looking for those who will say, Lord, you can use me, you can use my home. I'm available. Amen.
Amen.
Love wins the world. Number one, let's see God's example. John 3:16 is what we quote oftentimes. That is the first scripture we hear before we are converted. Well, I had that. And then we quote it, we tell people, God loves you. And we still make reference to it so much. Now, we see that God, we are able to see the intention. John 3:16, there we see God was intentional and practical in his love by giving the best he had, his son. Love gives. Love gives. Love gives out. That's why parents give, they give out. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when we love, we give. We give ourselves, we give our time, we give everything in us to better somebody, to better the future, a destiny. We give money. We do everything to make sure that, okay, this my son will be better than I do. Alright? This family, I'm believing God that is going to be greater than what I'm seeing now. So love gives. God showed that example. Number two, see the example of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 19, verses 5 and then 9 to 10. Scripture says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not only that love gives, love seeks. Love seeks. Love go after. Alright? We see the father of the prodigal son. He was longing for his son before he saw him. So love is always seeking. Let it be intentional that every day we'll be seeking. When we see somebody coming, Lord, is this soul? Are you working on this soul? Is this one of the people that heaven is preparing? You know, there will be signs. There are many things that will happen. Praise the Lord. We have opportunity to just say hi. You know, it's beginning of sowing seed. Number three, we need to see things and people differently. We need to see things and people differently. If we must touch and impact our world, we must see people differently. We don't judge them immediately. Oh, look at this one with some heavy tattoo. This one must be one of the so-called drug dealers or, you know, addicts. So already, you know, the way we are looking at them, we are not seeing them as kingdom perspectives. We are seeing them as, you know, addicts. We are not seeing them as God sees them. So we must begin to see things and people differently. If we are going to touch our world and impact people around us. This is not about preaching or passing religious leaflets or tracts. They are good. They have their own path. They have, you know, they have their own good. It's about intentionally seeking to love on people with the goal of rubbing Christ on them by our good works and acts. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 5:13-16. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. All right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? They may see your what? Your good works. Or is he saying that they might see your Bible? Or they might see you going to the church? Huh? Or see us giving trust, preaching. Those things are good. But they might see your good works. So light, I mean, love, we have seen that love gives, love seeks, light shines. If we are truly light and we have that light inside, we will brighten, we will shine, we will influence our environment. Wherever we are, darkness, we have to recede. It's not by human force, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right? Let's look at some areas we can. I mentioned this briefly the other time. Maybe a new family just moved into your neighborhood. I know because we have different kinds of, we are differently gifted and we are differently wired. All right? There are some of us by nature, we are so friendly, like Sister Yinka. All right? What I'm saying is that, I'm not trying to put you on spot. It's easy, all right? You will easily go out there, but there are some who, by nature, okay, they look at people very well, they study very well before they want to jump out. All right? They are somehow not all that too free to jump at people, to make friends. But if we are going to touch people around us for the kingdom, like I said, there are certain things we have to begin to pray. Lord, deal with me first. Deal with my nature. Help me to be receptive. We know there are sanguines, there are choleric people, there are people who are upper by nature, right? But then, how did the people, all the disciples of Jesus, if you study them, they have different kinds of makeups. But all of them touch their own word, right? They touch their word. So the Holy Spirit can use the sanguine as well as the choleric. He can use those who are withdrawn by nature and as well as those who are outgoing. All we just need to do is, Holy Spirit, work on me. Help me. So work on me first before I talk about working on people. So that when we are going out, we have that at the back of our mind, okay, I know by my mood might say, well, today, you see, things are bright, things are very bright, but I think I have to keep it to myself. But don't forget, you are not living for yourself. You are living for the kingdom. So you must brighten up. You must be ready to put aside that garment. I'm ready to put on the new garment. Amen?
Amen.
So, a new family just moving into your neighborhood. You should be the first. As a child of God, to welcome. You may say, well, I don't know what to say. Go and buy a car. Thank God for, we have dollar store. We have all these things around. We can buy dollar store. You are welcome to our community. We love you. In case you need prayer, you can contact me. All right? You may say, well, you just take the thing and throw it somewhere. Oh, let him or her throw it somewhere. In 3 months' time, when problem comes or there is a challenge. Oh, where is that card? Well, I think. And then the Holy Spirit begin to walk. There are some who will receive that kind of invitation or that kind of welcome. They say, oh, yeah, thank you. Oh, this is your phone number. Yeah. And that is the end of it. There are some who they will take you and say, okay, I've. It's like you are bothering me, just go. But then later on, they'll pick it up. And then they'll begin to think about it. This is where these people worship. Okay, I'm being invited for the fellowship. And that is why sometimes, it's not invitation to church. Bless you. It's not invitation to church. But you are inviting them for the fellowship. It's easier. Praise the Lord. We meet so place, this Saturday or this Wednesday, and we are just going to have barbecue. My brother, wow, Joe is very good in that. You just want to have barbecue, so we are invited. Oh, barbecue, we are coming. All right, you didn't tell them you are going to preach. Of course, you are not going to preach, but you're just going to love on them. Amen? Because when we start to preach, we switch off something in them. I'm not saying it's wrong to preach. Right, but the first thing is to love on them. I look into the scripture again and I begin to see. Look at the way Jesus met Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down for today. I will do what? I have to be in your house. That is one of the worst sinners. And he did say, as you come down, remember social scripture, you are a sinner, you need to repent and everything. No, the presence of Jesus just convicted him. By himself, he repented because God was working, the Holy Spirit was working in him. But we will begin by saying, repent! You are a sinner! And then we begin to quote, and then the person just switch off. Just manage to hear what you are saying, and after that, that's the end. So, number two, let's begin to exchange greetings or strike conversation with people in the neighborhood. That is one thing I found myself very, very reluctant to do, and I began to learn how to do it. I go to my neighbor across the road, just say hello. It's like your car. What happened to it? Do something that he's interested in. Do something that concerns him. Something that he's facing. Something that he's looking at. Let that be the source. Let it be the motivation. Let it be, let me use the word bait. Let it be a means of your conversation. Alright? And then maybe you're able to see that little girl, a little boy with her. Oh, wow, how wonderful. How old is she? He says, so it's going to be 2 or 3. Wow, when is her birthday? What you're looking for is an opportunity to love on her and the family. She tells you the birthday. Oh, she's going to have her birthday next Saturday. Now, it doesn't cost you too much to buy. Go to dollar store, 50, 2 for a dollar card. for birthday. All right? Write the name of that girl and then buy something, $5, put it there, wrap it with love. You are sending a signal into the heart of that person. You have not preached, you have not told the person, Jesus loves you, you are going to heaven, don't believe. But you are just sowing seed. You are loving. And then something happened again, you are there. Now, 1, 2, 3 times or 4 times, you have done one thing or the other, you have shown up. Tell me. The person will be receptive. And by the time you ask, oh, you know what? I forgot to tell you. We're going to have a cookout next week. Or we're going to have this celebration. We're going to have, you know, we're just going to have 1 hour, you know, fellowship about our friends will be coming, neighbors will be coming. We don't mind if you join them. Sometimes they will tell you, well, I can't come. Don't crucify them. Sometimes they will say, I will come, and they don't show up. When next you see them, don't crucify them. Still keep on praying because you are looking for the seed, the one that falls where? On the good soil. Okay. Not every seed that the sower, you know, push out there, brought result. But there's just one out of 4 or 5 that, you know, the group. The one that fell on the good ground yielded 3 categories of harvest, 30, 60, and 100. So you are just looking for just that one seed, the heart that has been prepared by the Holy Spirit. 1 out of 20 of your neighbors might say, yes, I'll come visit. I will be part of that. Sometimes they may not even tell you. They just know the day you are going to do your fellowship. They just say, oh, wow, you are here. Amen. 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 Sometimes some good things we do to our neighbor. For example, the day the trash people come to carry trash and then they left their trash bin outside, you can help them carry it. Alright? Talking about your neighbor. Just put it by their doorstep. They will appreciate it. Those things are just signs that these people are different from the kind of people that we are. Amen. Amen. What about our trip to the gas station or grocery? Hallelujah. Our trip to gas station, I think we go there once a week. All right, you meet with somebody. You always meet with somebody, all right, at the register. It could be a regular person there or the alternate. At least you meet with somebody there. You can, you know, strike conversation with such a person. What about the grocery store? It's an opportunity to connect with people who may be having divine appointment that day. You could be the answer to the cry of somebody who woke up and felt like, I wish the end of the world has come. I just think of ending everything. And then maybe all you just did that day is good morning, Paul. It's a great day. God bless you. And then God bless me. I've said all kinds of nonsense against God. And God bless me. And they begin to think about it. And that may be the beginning of a turnaround. What about our saloon and our barber shops? The visits also have equal opportunity to interact, exchange pleasantry, or make friends. Not necessarily preaching at the first sight. You may want to create a comfortable atmosphere first. So all these, you know, they are giving us opportunity to shine our light, to represent Jesus. So as we represent Jesus, you are sowing seed. And don't forget, there are some things you plant. Let me go back to farmer issue and everything. Sorry for doing that, but it's good. And, you know, it's a good example. Amen. When I was growing up, in my culture, my dad has sons and then daughters. He decided to plant for each of his sons coconut. So he planted coconut. He always tells us, this is yours. This is yours. You, this is, that is yours. That is yours. You know, the kind of coconut in those days, you plant it for 15 years, no fruit. Because it's just the organic. It doesn't, unlike the agriculture type we have, plant it in 3 years, you are already reaping. So there are some plants. You put them to the soil and they are growing, might take a longer time than the others. But when they start to yield fruits, they might yield fruit for the next 30 years. Praise the Lord. Alright. So there are some crops like tomatoes. You put in there, within 3 months, we have one, planted one in front of our house. So each day, sometimes before Jesse left, say, this is not bringing out fruit. I say, it's not your time. You have to wait. But you do your work every day, you water it, and you water, you are expecting. Within 3 months, you begin to see the, you know, tomatoes coming out. And there are some fruits, I mean some plants, that you put them down, it takes 6 months. It takes 6 months for yam to harvest. All right, let's go back to America. Grapes, apple, it takes longer time. You don't harvest apple the same year, the same time. I mean, talking about the how long it takes for them to mature, to begin to yield fruit. It's not the same time with corn. So it depends. The seed you are sowing, and when the individual yields to Christ, some might yield so easily, on time, some might take longer time, but when they yield, they are consistent. They are consistent. What about meeting people at the park? These days, it's easier to go to the park. It's easier to go to the park than before, right? What I mean, you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, and I learned of someone who there was going to be an appointment. Instead of going to the restaurant to talk face to face, they went to the park. It's small. You know, we have light. We have, it's more free, all right, to be in that atmosphere. And then they were there for the appointment. Okay, we can meet at the park. We can, maybe we are jogging every morning and you meet people. Each time you are jogging, you always pass. One day you can just say hello. All right. There are other places like the mechanic village, the gyms, the malls, parent-teachers meeting, all these places can be used to reach out to people. You are talking about, you know, touching the life of people. As I begin to wind down, begin to round up, let's get ready for multiplication. Let me go back to that process I used, chicken, the one that is hashed, the one that is not hashed. When the Lord ministered to me, I asked the Lord, may there be none in your house that will not be productive, that will not be effective, because your harsh egg has no life in it. And Jesus has given us life. If you have been born again, the DNA of God has been deposited in you. So Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so sent I you. The Father sent Jesus in obedience. He did. All right? And it's now said, I sent you. Just as I was sent, you go and do what? Make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. When you go back to that Matthew 28, it's talking about the people's nation. It's talking about the geographical nation. So when you're looking at the geographical nation, you're talking about going to Africa, Asia, and all the places. But we have all those places within us in America, even within your locality, your community. So God is saying, Jesus is saying, go to the people's nation. Two, the ethnos, the people, those who are having different, you know, origin, different from you. Go to them and preach the gospel. Now we understand now that the preaching is not just go there and tell them, you know, if you don't repent, you are going to hell. Our presence, that what is called presence evangelism. And your presence, your life is contagious. That they look at you, they want to be like you. Thank God we are doing something in this church. God is helping us. Yesterday, a group of people here, our sisters and Pastor Grace and others, they went out for evangelism. Praise the Lord. And we go out like that, but we want to begin to intentionally do it, apart from group, individual, own fellowship by own fellowship. You have a duty. You have an assignment. That God is looking and trusting you to reproduce yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's come back to that baby chick. As long as the baby chick now remains under the mother cares for that baby chick, protection from predators, alright? Alright? You know, once he sees hawk coming, he gives a sign. He gives a sign, now the chicks, they run under her. to protect them, just as Jesus keeps us from our predator, the devil. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. But when the chicks grow, when they now grow up, when they grow to a certain age, it's the same mother that have been keeping them, bringing them to herself, will now give a sign that you are of age. You got to go. You know how I saw that, you know, in village. When it is time for the chicken, the small chicks to go, and they are not ready to go, when they are eating, the mother hen will peck them. Don't eat when I'm eating. There will be pecking. And then you hear the little, you know, chick cry and, you know, depart. She will repeat that until that baby chicks begin to find her way. What he's saying is that you are grown enough. You got to go make your life. Praise the Lord. If God can give instinct to animals, to birds, God is saying, just let, you should learn from what God has created. That we need to get to a place where we reproduce. We don't stay forever. We are 10 today in the whole fellowship. We are going to remain 10 forever. No, no. That 10 breaking into 2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you break into 2, what you are going to discover is that the 5 is going to bring more people. Amen.
Amen.
And sometimes, by sending out the most important, when I say the word important, quote, the most, you know, ready members of the center, you send them out. Just as the church in Jerusalem had to send out Barnabas, one of the key leaders, to go to where? Antioch. And then from Antioch, the church grew. Not only that, Barnabas was able to go for Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, and then together they were able to go to the first missionary journey. And you hear about the work God did through Paul. At a time when they were waiting on the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I have for them." They have been prepared. So the key leaders in the church, again, were released to go do what? Reproduce. So it's not just church planting. Let's bring that to the home fellowship setting. So the key leaders in your center, they have to go start something. Hello? Hello? Okay, oh, I don't want to meet Sister J. I don't want to meet Brother B. No, they have to go start something so that God can also bless that work.
Amen.
And increase your number.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
As I conclude this, let us give the proper spiritual heat, temperature, to back leaders, to hush them, to nurture them, and then to start a new center. If we do, in 6 to 12 months maximum, our 6 centers can reproduce and become 12 centers. Don't forget, love is that ingredient needed to make growth happen, both spiritually and in individuals and numerically as a church. Are we ready? Let us pray. Tell the Lord, help me, Lord. I don't want to be unproductive. I don't want to be like that unhushed heck. I don't want to be part of the branch that is not producing fruit. I don't want to be cut off. I don't want to receive all the sap, all the energy, all the investment of heaven over me for nothing. Don't forget, God is always looking for fruit. Yes, thank God for what you are doing in the church. Thank God for all our gyration, everything. It's good. It's for our nurturing. But we have been over-nurtured. We have been eating and eating and eating. It's like we are not graduating. So let's tell God, help me. I don't want to become unproductive. I don't want to be a branch without fruits. I don't want to be like that on harsh egg. Help me, Father. Whatever in me that is not yielding to you, deal with me. Deal with my life. Help me, oh Father, to be receptive. Help me to be ready. Help me, God, to be willing. It's not about, and they said again we should come out for evangelism. Or our own fellowship center. They're always asking us to do this or that. We must be ready intentionally to look out for others. If we're only looking within ourselves, how we just care for ourselves only, we are selfish. We are not having the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ is take care of ourselves, yes, to some extent. And then get us ready to bring in others. Gather them, nurture them, and disciple them, empower them, and cause multiplication. Tell the Lord, help me. Strengthen me, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us as a church. What is God saying to us as a church? We have so many evangelists in this place. So many, 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 many evangelists, teachers, pastors. Oh, yes, prophets. We have everyone seated on this seat. Some have not discovered because we have been overfed. Until we are exposed, until we find ourselves elsewhere, in another center, talking about your own fellowship, we find ourselves and we are told, you can do it. You go do it. You are leading today. You are praying today. You are going after that brother, that sister. The best in us will not come out. Lord, help me. I don't want to rot in. I don't want to keep feeding and overfed myself, not producing. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus as a Savior. I surrender all. One more time. I surrender. Pastor will come up. Pastor will be.